A blessing. That was some beautiful singing today. Beautiful singing. Amen. It is an honor and a privilege to be here this morning. I hope and pray that everyone is having a blessed day and a blessed week. Amen. And I'm going to do my best not to tear any microphones up here or anything else for that matter. But I sure have enjoyed the services and the singing already this morning. That song that we sang just at the close of Handshaking was the Welsh Revival song, Here Is Love Vast as an Ocean. Amen. And I am currently trying to learn that in Welsh. And don't ask me to tell you how it is, because I'm on one word out of all the rest of them. So I'm a work in progress. Amen. So it is a blessing to be here this morning, 8:30 service. I hope and pray that your hearts and minds are ready to hear the Word of God. So let's open our Bibles up to Luke chapter 8 this morning. Luke in chapter 8. And just to repeat myself, it is a privilege to be in our home church this morning. We're going to be in Luke chapter 8 today, and I want to introduce to you a little lady that we probably are very familiar with. She's only in the scripture a very short time. We're going to see her, and she has, and what I say, she's in search of, for freedom, if you will. She's in search for freedom. She's in search for liberty. She's in search for help, if you will. Luke in chapter 8, and we're going to begin in verse 43. Verse 43. And the Bible says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee. And sayest thou, Who touched me? Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be here today. We do pray now that you please would watch over us, give us guidance, grace, and mercy. I ask of you this morning to please tender our hearts, open up our minds of understandings, give me clarity of speech and thought this morning, dear God, to convey the sermon, the message that you would have for each and every one of us here today. Help us grow, Lord God, in grace. Help us draw closer unto you. Father, I pray that we would leave today closer than that which we came in. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we ask these things. Amen and amen. Now, more than likely, guys, we have heard and we have read the record of this marvelous event hundreds of times. Now, if you think about it, she's only in the Holy Scripture in just a few verses. It's not something that is used chapters to expound upon. I mean, but this record, this event, I mean, this is one of those stories which speaks of an underdog's victory, a hero's power, and the assurance of, by faith, anything is possible. The Bible tells us of this lady. Who she is, we don't know. We don't know if she was a parent or a spouse prior to her contracting this awful detrimental disease. And we don't know anything about that. I mean, she would spend her days in this life, just avoiding everybody. We don't know if she was married before. We don't know if she had children before. We do know, according to the law, she would have been forbidden to marry, and she would have been unable to have children. But we do know this, that she lived in utter pain. We know that she lived in utter obscurity, if you will, because of an apparent incurable disease for 12 long years. Now, for some of us here, some of us got a little gray now. Amen. I didn't have gray before I left. I got it now, and didn't have hair before I left, but that was by choice, and now it's not. Amen. But nonetheless, I mean, 12 years, we say, well, that's not very long. 12 years? Anybody can do 12 years. 12 years in misery may as well be 120 years. Amen. 12 years in sickness and pain, and 12 years of being on the outside of everything, 12 years of solitude, if you will, may as well be a century. And this poor lady had dealt with that. She would spend all of her resources on seeking relief from this devastating issue of blood. She would spend her days avoiding people, trying to ignore the looks, if you will, given by those around, simply searching for a cure. Imagine with me, if you will, if you spent the majority of your time in your life and in your day-to-day activities in the midst of hiding yourself and your condition from everyone around you. Beloved, I want to submit this thought to you this morning. She was desperate to be healed. She was desperately in search of freedom from this disease. I mean, at the very least, she wanted some type of treatment to bring the slightest amount of hope to her heart. The well-known hymn writer Sankey applies this story to a nameless woman again, whom Jesus healed in one of his hymns, saying, "She only touched the hem of his garment. As to his side she stole, amid the crowd that gathered around him, and straightway she was whole." At the forefront of her day, no matter the hopes and the dreams, there's one cold, hard fact that we can understand about this nameless and unknown woman. Beloved, she was an outcast. She was an outcast. Look with me in verse 43 once again, please. The Bible says that a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. My friend, it was punishable by death for her to touch anyone. It was punishable by death for her to get around someone. They would be unclean. Everything that she touched would be unclean. I mean, anything and everyone in the immediate area where this lady was would come straight away unclean. She was to be an outcast from society as a whole. In the front part of verse 47, the Bible says, "Who touched me?" And when all denied, Peter and they that were... I'm sorry, that's verse 45. Verse 47 says, "And when the woman saw that she was not hid," the Bible says, "she came trembling and falling down." She was absolutely petrified, if you will, when she found out, when she figured out what had happened in her body, the healing of this issue of blood, and who she was to everyone around her. She was fearful for her life. We know that according to Leviticus 15, it says that if a woman have an issue of blood many days out of her time of separation, or if it be run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. The Bible goes on to say that whereupon she lieth those days shall be unclean. The bed, the couch, everything that she touched or came into contact with that she was around would have been considered unclean. And here was this outcast of a lady. Here was this lady who was a physical outcast, who was a mental outcast, who was a social outcast, who was an emotional outcast, who was, mind you, a spiritual outcast. Her lot was set. I mean, she was unclean. And imagine, guys, imagine with me this morning, if you will, what it would have been like to live next to her, to live close to her, to know who she was, maybe to even know her. Imagine her embarrassment with me, if you will, of having to hang out her clothing and hang out her linen and the neighbors having to tolerate the sight and among other things, if you will. And I know it's not pretty to say it, and maybe it's not pretty to mention on a Sunday morning, but guys, can I share this with you? Can I say this to you this morning? This was this lady's truth. This was her life for 12 years. A truth that she had searched far and wide for a cure. A truth, my friend, that she spent all of her resources on finding a solution and only was to become worse upon worse. My friend, this was her life. Beloved, can I say this to you this morning to make it a little more personable? There are people in our lives today that are going through this same situation. Maybe not this issue of blood, maybe not this physical sickness, but there are people today who are mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically an outcast of those that are around us. There are people that are suffering in silence in our sphere of influence. There are people in our lives, our family members, our neighbors, our co-workers, and those people that we see every day, and we don't see the sickness. We don't see the pain, but they're suffering in silence because they are an outcast for whatever particular reason. And can I say this just bluntly? It doesn't matter what they're an outcast for. It doesn't matter why they don't feel like they belong. It doesn't matter why they're going through what they're going through. What does matter is what we as a people today are willing to do about it. Can I say this to you this morning? What they don't need is another lecture. What they don't need is another outcast, another slam about who they are or where they came from. What they need is a people who will love them. What they need is a people who will have compassion on them. The word compassion means to co-suffer with someone. Those outcasts in this world today that we may not even see as we walk past them. Can I tell you what the outcast in the world needs today? They need somebody who not only will name the name of Christ, but will live the name of Christ. You see, beloved, this outcast and the ones in our life and the ones that's before us today in our text, they go through many, many obstacles. Look at verse 44 with me. The Bible says in verse 44 that she came behind. And we know the rest of the story in verse 44, and we'll finish that here in just a little bit. She came behind. So picture this with me, if you will. Imagine if it with me, she's already conditioned as an outcast. According to the law, legally, I mean, she was an outcast. She was not to be around people. Especially, she wasn't supposed to touch anyone. And yet, verse 45 says, when Jesus Christ said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee." Beloved, here is this lady who is mentally and emotionally conditioned that she is not to be around anyone. She's not to touch anyone. She's not to touch anything. This is her makeup. This is her mindset. And that word throng is defined as a large, densely packed crowd. So picture with me, if you will, and remember the story. See, this little blip in the map of Jesus Christ's ministry, this little minor miracle, as some people will refer to it, he's on the way to heal some ruler's daughter. I mean, he's being carried away by all these people, and they're all over him, and they're pressing him, and they're compressing him here and pressing him. Everybody's touching him. It's just a mass crowd of people. And somehow, this determined little outcast fall through the obstacles of the people. Fall through somehow, some way. I mean, it would be worth it to say that she knew deep in her heart that if she could just get to Jesus Christ, she'd be made whole. She knew the risk. She knew she wasn't allowed to. She knew she wasn't supposed to. But in her heart and in her mind, she thought, if I can just touch a hem of that garment, I'll be okay. Beloved, I picture her in my heart of hearts. I picture her somehow, some way, down on her hands and knees and almost doing a soldier, a military crawl. I mean, just getting there with every effort that she can muster up inside of her body, solely focused on the bottom of that cloak, on the bottom of those clothes. Pushing through ankles and knees and men and all this and that. She probably got stepped on a half a dozen times. I mean, she probably was hurting not only from the issue of blood, not only because of the sickness, but because what she endured just getting to Jesus Christ physically. And my friend, it cost her everything. And she was just ready to be free. It didn't matter the obstacles that she had to go through. She was willing to fight through the obstacles. Now, I ask you this question here today. Maybe you're in the middle of something in your life. Maybe you're standing at the forefront of some obstacles in your days. Maybe you're fighting these obstacles. Maybe you're challenged and you feel like you're an outcast somewhere, whether it's a social outcast or a physical outcast or a mental or emotional outcast or a spiritual outcast. Maybe you're struggling with something today and you just look out and you see the amount of obstacles and you say, man, it's insurmountable. I cannot get through there. And I want you to think about this lady. Was she desperate? Absolutely. I mean, the word desperate or desperation means without hope. You'll do anything there is. And that's where she was. She had exhausted everything that she had. Beloved, you're here today and you're thinking, you know what? I got a lot of obstacles in my life. I'm never going to attain to this position. I'm not going to be able to get there. I'm not going to grow in grace. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And maybe that's your struggle. What you think about this lady? She's only in the Bible for a handful of verses. We don't know her name. We don't know her history. We know her future. Praise God. She got healed. But she fought through these obstacles. She was willing to do whatever needed to be done to get freedom from the illness that she was suffering from. So despite the obstacles and the challenges and the risk of her own life, this little outcast overcame. She overcame. Pick up in verse 44 with me. Let's read down to verse 48. Verse 44, the Bible tells me, came behind him, speaking of the dear lady, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue was blood staunched. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee. And sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling. And falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace. Beloved, she got the victory. Now, I don't know about you, but I've loved this story ever since probably the first day I've read it. It's that underdog story. It's that someone who's just been beaten down and beaten down and beaten down, and they get the victory because of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. But I'll tell you something that had perplexed me for years on end. And I got thinking, you know, Jesus Christ's ankle is just right there. Why not touch Jesus Christ? Why just his garment? Why the clothing? We don't know where his clothing came from. And I just got thinking about that and began to dig it out and begin to look at it. And again, the story is just mesmerizing how she overcame the obstacles and was made whole by having faith that if she could just touch the border of his garment, that's where her heart was set. Because there's more to that border of his garment. Now, the Bible says in Luke, the border of his garment, it's translated him in the book of Matthew, and Mark uses the word clothes. But in Psalm 91, verse 4, the Bible tells us that he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. In Psalm 91, verse 4, that word wings comes from a Hebrew word kanaf, which means wing, it means extremity, it means edged, wing. Listen to the next one. It means border, it means corner, it means shirt. It's translated 14 times into skirt, 74 times into wing, another 2 times into border, and 2 times as in, and a few other words. And that's just the Old Testament. You see, this lady knew the power of the border. She knew the power of the wings. This lady, this Jewish lady who knew that if he is the Messiah, she had heard of what Jesus had done, all she had to do was to get up underneath those wings and touch it, if you will. You say, well, what does that mean, preacher? How does that even apply to the border of his garment? Well, in Numbers 15:38, the Bible says, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. That word borders right there is the same word that we read in Psalm 91:4 about the wings. You know, if you go back in your mind to 1 Samuel, you guys remember when David and his men had Saul there in the cave, and Saul was taking a little nap, and David went over and cut the border of his garment. And Saul, in 1 Samuel 24, verses 4 and 5 says, and the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. And then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he cut off Saul's skirt. You see, in the proper perspective, it was understood that there was power and authority in the skirt of that king. And beloved, that's just an earthly king there. Can you imagine the power and the authority that was in the skirt of the King of all kings? Can you imagine the power and the authority that was represented in the clothing, in the hem, in the wings, if you will, that where we should trust in our life? And that's where her heart was. That if she could just get to the border of that garment, her entire body would be made whole. So in its proper perspective, this woman risked life and limb just to get close enough to touch the border of Jesus' clothes. She had faith enough in that border. She had faith enough in that corner. She had faith enough in that skirt. She had faith enough in those wings in which we should trust that she would be made whole. And it worked. She knew there was a power in that border, as it was the wing that she should place her trust in. She did all this by faith this day. I mean, it almost, if Jesus Christ wouldn't have said anything, it would have been unnoticeable. As a matter of fact, I question whether or not it would even been put and recorded in the Word of God if Jesus wouldn't have brought note to it. It's only in there a few verses. And like I said before, everybody remembers the centurion whose servant was healed. Everybody remembers Jairus, whose, you know, daughter was raised from the dead. Everybody remembers these, that this woman with the issue of blood, she's just a little blip on the map, but her faith was so great and so strong that I believe in all of my heart today that her testimony extended far and wide. That her testimony extended much further than even that of the servant of the centurion. Much further than that of even Jairus' daughter. And the reason I say that is because as time would go on, in Mark chapter 6, The Bible says, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. Listen carefully here. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they lay the sick in the streets, besought that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. You see, my friend, testimony of this dear woman extended throughout the region. And I just, man, maybe I'm just kind of making it up. Listen, I believe it to be true, but I don't think you can prove it wrong, amen. I believe that this testimony went out through the country, throughout the region, throughout the land. And I believe they said, you know what? There was a lady down there. We don't know who she was. We don't know who she was related to. She wasn't associated with anybody. She wasn't on any committee. She wasn't part of the local church. She wasn't in the Lions Club. She wasn't anything. Nobody had anything to do with her. But she had heard about Jesus. She had heard that he healed many people. She heard all the things that he did, and she fought tooth and nail just to touch the border of that garment. And that testimony went far and wide, and when Jesus Christ got off that ship, they knew who he was, and they said, you know what? There's the border of that garment. And they got the sick, and they got all of them. They lined them in the street, and the whole thing was this. The whole thing was if they could just touch the border of that garment, they will be healed. And the Bible tells me as many as touched him were made whole. Now, beloved, I don't know where you are this morning in your life. I don't know who you may be dealing with in your life. I don't know what struggles, if any at all. I mean, I was always told you're either coming out of a storm, in a storm, or getting ready to go in one. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this morning. I do know this. I know the faith of this dear lady right here surpasses probably most of ours. She had one focus. She was fixated on the fact of touching the hem of that garment. She knew that if she could get to the border of those clothing, if she could get up underneath those wings of whom she was trusting into, that she would be made whole. So you today, maybe there's someone in your life. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're struggling with something this morning that only you and God knows about. And you say, well, preacher, I'm fighting it. I'm doing my task. I'm doing my steps, my 12 steps, my 10 steps, my 7 steps, my 14 steps. I'm doing all these things that I'm doing. I'm just ask you to do one thing simple today. Would you touch the border of the garment? Would you be willing today to just bow your head and bow your heart and say, you know what? If I just come up underneath his wings, that's where I'm trusting this morning. For this lady, unnamed, unknown, don't know anything about her other than the fact that she was suffering for 12 years. She knew in her heart that if she would just touch the border of that garment, she would be made whole. So, beloved, where are you today? Are you at a place this morning where you're ready to admit that no matter the obstacle, no matter the battle, no matter the embarrassment, no matter what anybody else thinks, listen, I don't believe anybody in here needs another lecture, another slam, another condemnation. I believe you need love. I believe you need compassion. But I believe in all of my heart this morning that if you'll come, and you'll touch the border of that garment, whatever is ailing you, whatever is hurting your heart and your mind, your soul today, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, will make it whole. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? With every head bowed.